Let's continue on with John chapter 5. We will be beginning in verse 37. And we are going to continue on the final part of Jesus versus the Jews. Jesus versus the Jews. And beginning in verse 37, it reads, "And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his words abiding in you, for you do not believe him who sent me. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If anyone comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Amen. Amen. Remember, Jesus in the past, Jesus had just healed a man who couldn't get into the pool. He just healed a man. He said, "Get up and walk." The Jews got upset with him because he was celebrating on the Sabbath. He was working on the Sabbath. This is something that he wasn't. How dare you heal a man who was ill for almost 40 years? How could you heal this man on the Sabbath? So they begin to persecute Jesus. These Jews, these religious folk, begin to persecute Jesus himself. And so in the last two Sundays, we were dealing with this conversation. Jesus says that he is God. Him and the Father are one. And for that reason, they wanted to kill him. Y'all remember that from last week, right? The last couple of weeks. So Jesus kind of puts a checkmate in the situation for those of you that play chess. He's going to hit him with the checkmate. He's going to back them up into a corner. And you know, when you back someone into a corner, they have nowhere to go. That's one of my problems at home. When I get into it with Layla or with Jamie, they accuse me of always backing myself into a corner. Or a closet. Or a pantry. I can't get out. So let's take this verse by verse. Let's take this verse by verse. We understand that last week we talked about Jesus, that God the Father was his testimony. That he used John the Baptist, God the Father used John the Baptist to testify about Jesus. That God the Father is the testimony that Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him. So we understand that Jesus was there in eternity past in an intimate relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were never separate of each other. They never worked apart from one another, if you remember this from last time we spoke. So now we get to verse 37, and we understand that the Father, and I'm going to say the Father, when I say the Father, I'm also going to say Yahweh, okay, because that's another word for God the Father, Yahweh. We're saying here that the God the Father testified of Jesus. And Jesus says this again in verse 37. He says that the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. But you have neither heard his voice nor seen his form. There's two things that are happening here. Jesus is number one saying, I have heard his voice and seen his form. We've been eternity past together, but you have not. Why? Because you don't believe. How could you see the form and hear the voice of someone you do not believe that is? Jesus, the Father used, Yahweh testified about Jesus. The Jews have never seen his form or heard his voice. It's possible, very possible, for you to have knowledge but no relationship. You don't have a relationship with God because you don't believe him. What did we talk about a couple weeks ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18? Layla was up here, she said it. What is it? It says that those who are perishing, that the word of the cross is foolishness to them. So in other words, the Jews, the religious folk, the one that were the Jewish Christian, well, we'll say Christian because it wasn't Christian now, but we'll just say compared to now, the Christian elite, the elitists, they didn't even believe. It's foolishness to them. So if it's foolish to them, how can you hear God's voice when it's foolishness to you? Verse 38, Jesus says, you do not have his words abiding in you, for you do not believe him who sent me. Well, how could you say that, Jesus? I've been studying at the Jerusalem Seminary for the last 30 years. I know Genesis and Exodus by heart. But Jesus says here that your word is not abiding in him. Does anyone remember when I used the word abide, what abide means in the Greek? It means to stay, to abide. Jesus says later on in John, you abide in me, I abide in you, like I abide in the Father. We stay, we never separate. He says he is the true vine, that if you abide in him and him in you. He's saying to the Jews here, the religious folk, that you do not abide in God's word. Meaning that you've read it, you don't get it. He's saying that you have not stayed in the word of God because you do not believe in him. Poor analogy, but I like to give them anyway. If I walk up to Al right now and I say, Al, I want you to come here every single day and I want you to spend an hour with me every single day. Doesn't matter what time. Al says, okay, no problem. He does it for the first couple of weeks, first couple of months. He does it for the first year. What do we talk about? Nothing. He just sits there in the room with me. We sit there. We just sit, you know, don't have a conversation. Just sit face to face for an hour. Al's probably thinking to himself, you know what, man, I have other things that I would like to do. Like what, Al? I don't know, live. I don't want to sit here with you all day long. Or sit there with you for an hour. I don't want my time wasted. But if Al knew that as he sat with me, every hour he sat with me, he got $1 million, guess what? Changes everything, doesn't it? It changes the mindset, doesn't it? You think, oh, wow, I'm doing it. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to sit with you and sit and say nothing. Why does that matter? Is because, you know what? If we believe that we're going to get something out of it, our mindset changes a little bit. Our hearts change a little bit. These Jews were the high position of stature, status. How many of you see this in churches today? The pastor is the man. We talked about this before. The elder is the man. Not the man, the man. They're the ones that run the show. I want the pastor to pray for me, not sister so-and-so sitting on the side there. I need pastor to pray for me. It becomes more important of stature. Like I said, you guys all know my title when I finish school, which I want you all to call me. You need to call me doctor, bishop, apostle, super disciple, doctor again, Lawan Johnson, PhD, MDD, EDD, and all these others, right? Because that's what matters, right? The titles is what matters the most, right? saying. Yeah. And no one is allowed to talk to me when I finish speaking, because I am on this upper echelon of heavenly glory that you guys can't deal with me. So when I would politely ask that once I get the degree, please don't talk to me. Don't say anything to me, okay? If you want to talk to me, talk to Jamie, talk to Kara, talk to my mom, and then maybe they will get it back to you if they see fit to bring it to me. Right? Do you understand that's what we do, right? For those of you, how many of you guys can get in contact with John MacArthur right now? Give him a call right now on his phone. I think so. That's what I thought. Same with Creflo Dollar, same with TD Jakes, same with Joel Osteen. You can't call him right now, can you? No, because they've elevated themselves in such a position. And their people have elevated them into a higher position to where now they're unreachable. They're so extra special and holy. But that's how the Jews were. The Jews were the ones. They were the man. And who is this little guy from a poor town with a poor family saying that he is the Son of God? They allowed their stature to become greater than their relationship. You know that's possible in the church? It is very possible for you to allow your church to be your God over God. My grandmother was more concerned about making sure that the pastor had fresh flowers every Sunday, but she hadn't read her Bible. We do it, don't we? We mistakenly do it. We can admit it, we do it. But when your status of religious elevation becomes higher than God, then you have a problem. And now you are not abiding in the Word of God anymore. You're abiding in the image of the church, the image of the Christian look. Does everyone understand me? The Jews, the Jewish elite, their money, their power, their position became more important than God's word. And that's why Jesus is saying that you have not abide in God's word, because you do not believe the one who sent me. So let's break it down a little bit more. So we know that the Jews worshipped Yahweh of the Old Testament. They worshipped Yahweh. We understand that the Jews, these same Jews, hate Jesus, who says that I am. Yahweh means I am. Jesus says before Abraham was, Yahweh. I am. So the Jews who worship Yahweh hate Jesus, who is Yahweh, and they hate the fact that Jesus says that Yahweh testifies about me. And then for Jesus to say that you haven't heard his voice or seen his form, it's an offense to them. They're angry at him. They already want to kill him. But you can't say that the people that worship Judaism, that they worship the same God as us, because they have to accept Christ. Christ is very much a part of the picture. They have the Bible down. They don't have a relationship with him. You know, it's possible to be a biblical scholar and not know Christ. Does everyone understand that? It is possible to master the art of Greek and master the art of Hebrew and Aramaic, with the three languages in which the Bible is written. It is possible for you to master those things, but not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is no different than stolen valor. How many of you know what that is? Stolen valor. Anyone heard about it? Okay, it's what stolen valor, I'll tell you what it is. It's when a person goes to the surplus store or gets a little pass and able to go on over to, let's say, the military PX, BX, or whatever they call it nowadays, okay? They're able to purchase. You can right now. If all of you, we all get a field trip, we'll get an imaginary bus. We all get into the bus. We drive on over to Ventura County Naval Base, okay? And we go into the store. You know we can buy uniforms? We put on a uniform. Let's say some of you, Steve, as an example. Steve takes the uniform, puts it on, puts on the ranks, and starts walking around the town. All of a sudden, people start looking at him different. Steve, thank you for your service. Yeah, well, yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, right. YouTube videos, look them up. Stolen Valor. Some of the guys use very foul language because the real soldiers, the real military people notice because they never get the uniforms right. Their ranks are off. And so it's called, you know, it's a federal offense to have stolen valor. To dress up as an officer, as a military officer or enlisted person, is stolen valor. Some people do it for attention. Well, I'll say 99% of the people do it for attention. But they put on these uniforms, they walk around, and you know, when I was in the Navy, there were certain uniforms you wore outside. During the fall, you wore a different color than the spring. So if you're walking around, if you ever want to notice, well, not so much now because the Navy has changed their uniforms, but if you ever notice that if it's the fall or winter time and they are wearing white uniforms, you know they're wrong because you're not supposed to wear those. They're supposed to wear those in the spring and the summer. You wear white uniforms, those Cracker Jacks, white. You wear blue, dark blue, and even some cases black during the winter and during the fall. So if you ever watch, see a Navy guy walking around with some white Cracker Jacks and it's December, probably stolen valor. I ran into a guy with stolen valor just in this town. Jamie and Kara were there for it. Asked the guy a question. He got all irritated and offended about it. He was stolen valor. But here's the thing. The reason why am I telling you this point? The point is that there's a difference between the look and the relationship. If I'm in the Navy for 5 years, if so-and-so is in the military, Marine Corps, and Army for 10 years or whatever, there's a difference. There is a relationship. There is something that I have in my experience with the military and that person has with their experience with the military. Let me tell you something right now. Anybody, let's say Steve, and I'm going to use you as an example, Steve. If Steve never been in the military before but read everything about it, it doesn't mean he has the relationship. It doesn't mean he knows. He could put on the uniform, he can don the ranks, and he can just say, yeah, rah, rah, right? But he does not have the relationship of being in. And that's the problem that we're talking about here in the verses. The Jews knew the scriptures. They studied the scriptures. And they studied it in such a way where people didn't, we have Bibles nowadays. They didn't have the book walking around where they could just walk around with their books. They were in scrolls. These people were highly educated in the languages, highly educated in the doctrine and in the scriptures. But they did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They did not have a relationship with Yahweh. Verse 39 and 40 reads, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. It is what? It is these scriptures that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Jesus is literally saying, not only do you guys study it, but you guys stay in it. You guys study it. You guys examine it. You carefully examine it. You carefully focus on the scriptures, hoping to have life, but you refuse to come to me, and I am life. Jesus is not saying, forget the Bible and come to me. Jesus is saying that the Bible should lead you to me. But the Bible didn't lead them to Christ. Well, Luan, what do you mean? Great example. You know how many times Jesus is in the Old Testament? Write these things down. And if you need them later, you don't have a pen, fine. Get at me later. They're still written down. I will give them to you. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking through the garden, Jesus. Genesis 18, when Jesus visited Abraham and said that he was going to have a son, and his wife Sarah laughed, and he said, why do you laugh? And she said, I'm not laughing. He said, oh, you did laugh. Jesus. In the Old Testament, okay? Genesis chapter 32, for those of you in Bible study, remember this, Jacob wrestled with the Lord. Jesus. In Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get put in the fiery furnace. What did they turn up the fiery furnace so high that it kills some of the guards? And then they say, wait a minute. Hey, isn't there three guys supposed to be in there? And they say, there's a fourth guy walking around in there, and one of them looks like the Son of God. Jesus. Psalms 22, if you read Psalms 22, that's the entire psalm of Jesus on the cross. The experience that Jesus had on the cross. Jesus. And the book of Isaiah chapter 53. all about Jesus. If they would have studied and examined and meditated on the scriptures, they would have realized that Jesus is the Messiah. But they were so quick to just read about it and have a knowledge about it and then be done with it. Jesus is saying, you are searching the scriptures in search for eternal life, but you understand that I am the source. Jesus is the source of eternity, eternal life. He is the source. God's word is to lead you to Christ, not to separate you from him. And in the Jews' situation, they allowed the word, the words that were written, to separate themselves from God because they were so focused on the politics of what was going on. They were getting rich from this. They were being put in high esteem because of this. And they refused to focus on God. We see that in ministries every single day, where it's all about the pastor, their church, their group, and it's not about God's word. I told you this story before, and I'm going to tell it to you all the time. Let me tell you something. When I go up to a pastor and I tell them I am leaving this seminary because I found myself worshiping that seminary, and I want to have my relationship right, it's destroying me, it is destroying my family. I said this to this pastor. I do not want to worship this seminary anymore. I want to worship Christ. What do you think that they, how do you think that they received me from that? They received me with a shaken head of, how dare you leave the seminary? Forget the fact that I want a relationship with God first. The seminary is the place of worship. And forgive me for those of you that are following and watching this later on Facebook that are a part of that seminary. They are worshiping themselves there. They are not worshiping Christ. And I'm not talking about everybody. Disclaimer, I'm not saying everybody is worshiping Christ. I am saying that a good majority are worshiping the seminary and not Christ. That's why it's easy for those guys to come into churches and destroy them. That's why it's easy for those guys to say, you know what, I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm just going to get a couple commentaries, read the commentaries, and write my sermons. It is not about Christ, even though they say it is. Verse 41 and 42, forgive me, you guys. I'm trying to get through this really fast, y'all. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. We understand that Jesus says in John chapter 2 that he knows the minds and the hearts of men and their intentions. He is not there to receive glory from men, because men's glory is feeble. We love you today, we hate you tomorrow. The people that were sitting there enjoying Jesus healing people, feeding people, taking care of people were the same people that threw rocks and said, crucify him. Don't you understand that? It's feeble. Jesus is not looking for the man's glory because he knows that they don't care about him in that way. He says, you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I'm sure these people were angry about that. What do you mean we don't have the love of God in ourselves? Do you know who we are? Steve, 10 o'clock, 10:30, me and you, we're going to go on over to Grace Bible Church, Grace Community Church, not Grace Bible Church, Grace Community Church. We're going to go to Grace Community Church, and I want you to stand up there before, you got to be quick though, before the security try to come and get you. Go real quick and say, y'all don't have the love of Jesus in your heart, and watch how quick you get tackled. Yeah. The only thing is, they're not going to kill you. These Jews were ready to kill Jesus because he said, you do not have the love of God in your hearts. No different than 2 years ago when someone told me, Luan, you are unworthy to carry John MacArthur's Bible. Who in the heck are you? Worship of men, not of God. Worship of men, not of God. if you do not fix these matters, Lawan, with these people, I promise you, you will never be in a position of leadership at any church. Oops. Jamie was there. She was there when it happened. They promised me I will never pastor a church. Oops. Because it's not about you. It's not about what you say. It's about what God is saying. God is in control over this, not you. The Jews wanted to make their church, not God's church. They were in love with their power. They were in love with their status. They were not in love with God. Verse 33, I come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How many of us do that? Instead of pulling out our Bibles and figuring out what God is trying to tell us, we're so quick to run to someone else. I want to focus on this life coach that makes me feel good when I say something. When I think something, it's not going to make me feel bad. Where's the reality? I had a really close person tell me this week, it's very interesting how some people, you know, I go to one group of people and I tell them, listen, you're messing up. You need to fix it now. And it's received. But yet if I go to a different group of people and I say the exact same thing, they accuse me of being negative. How dare you disrespect me? How many of you went to college? Raise your hands. Okay, how many of you got accepted to colleges off of a 1.0 grade point average? Come on, there's got to be at least one. Okay, I guess there's none. Can you get all Fs and get into UCLA? I'm honestly asking. Can you? Has anyone gotten all Fs and gotten to UCLA? Okay, so I think it would only be right if I'm sitting there telling you that, hey, you can't get Fs and go to UCLA, that won't be offensive. That would be a wake-up call, right? Just a thought. These Jews would accept anybody that came, but not they didn't accept Jesus. They're willing to accept the person with all Fs than the person who is the King. Jesus comes in the name of the Father, in the name of Yahweh, and they reject him. But we knew that in John chapter 1. He came to his own did not receive him. It's no different than what Jamie accuses me all the time of taking advice of somebody else other than her. For those of you that have ever experienced that, I say, Jamie, do you think it's better that I, you know, we'll use a cloak outfit for example, okay? Let's say, I write a book. I give it to Jamie, she reads it. Jamie, what do you think about the book? I thought it was great. All right, cool, but I live with you. You don't want to hurt my feelings. I can't trust what you're saying 100%. Hey, Jesse, I read the book. Man, what do you think? Man, it was amazing. All of a sudden, my head gets a little bit bigger because Jesse said it was amazing more than Jamie said it was amazing. For any of you know what I'm talking about? Somebody on the outside giving you confirmation of, instead of somebody that you know and that you love and that they love you. There's a little bit of a difference in acceptance. It's kind of the same thing. The Jews were willing to receive anybody. You know how many messiahs came and the Jews accepted? But they didn't accept Jesus. Quote unquote messiahs, not the real messiah that claimed to be messiahs, that died, didn't rise again. Jesus is saying that I came in the name of Yahweh. Someone you should know and relate to, but you don't receive me, but someone comes on their own name and you receive them. How disappointing is that? Verse 44, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? These Jews elevated each other. You know, there's churches that are out there that actually support one another. You have like five or six mega churches. They're all in a network and they support one another financially. They keep each other okay. That's how the pastor can able to have a million-dollar housing allowance and then a million-dollar clothing allowance, and then also on top of that get paid. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you got a housing allowance, your house is paid for, your clothes are paid for, and then you're getting paid on top of that, and you're getting paid more than six figures. Woo! That's some good money. But they all support one. They all support one another. They're all supporting one another. They worship one another. He's literally saying to us, and we can look at it from a Christian perspective, he's literally saying, you are so quick to worship one another and not me. I love Pastor so-and-so. He's amazing. I'll do whatever I can to make sure that he's okay and he's happy. No, you. How could you believe in Christ? How could you trust in, believe, and become 100% dependent on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when you are giving glory to another person? When that other person becomes God. Didn't God say, I will have no other gods before me? But yet we put it under the moniker of Christianity, and then we say that it's okay because we're putting it under the moniker of Christianity. I'm on Facebook quite often, and I look and I see a picture of John MacArthur or some John Piper or some type of preacher, and they're standing there and they're preaching, and people say, what Bible is that he's using? And then people take the picture, they zoom in, they try to find out what the Bible is, and they say, it's this Bible. And the next thing you know, people are buying the Bible that he uses. Oh, because, oh, I'm telling you, there's something about using a Bible that somebody else is using. Let me tell you something, that's so amazing. Come on, man. Whether it's this Bible or on my phone, God's word is God's word. And I don't care if I'm using a small little paperback Bible with three-point font that I can't barely see. It's God's word. It doesn't matter how it looks with the jingles and jangles. Just because Pastor so-and-so uses that Bible don't mean you have to. Use the one that works for you. We got people that use NIVs in here. We got people that use NASBs, ESVs, King James, New King James. Doesn't matter. The best Bible is the one that you are reading. It's not about that. We've come to worship the Christian celebrity, whether they're a pastor, an athlete, or whoever. The glory belongs to God and Him alone, not to you. Verse 45 and 46. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. This is very interesting. Moses wrote about the coming Messiah, the Savior of all the world. When Adam and Eve sinned and God is cursing the serpent, he says, I will bring enmity between you, your seed, and the woman's seed. He will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. We are talking about Jesus. Moses wrote that. But here's what's funny. He said, you know what? You don't have to worry about me. Now, accuse and judge are different. Which will remind you. Accuse and judge are different. Jesus will judge. He has the power to judge. We learned that earlier in the chapter. But he said the person that's going to accuse you is not going to be me. It's going to be Moses, the one you worship. Imagine that now. A man who loves Moses dies. Gets up to there. I'm here. He sees Moses. Moses drops to his knees. Moses is like, Lord, that man has sinned against you. Wait a minute, no, Moses, no, I love you, man. I got your t-shirt. I bought an autograph signed, a Bible from you. No. As an autograph, I was thinking like now times, but why do you think that Moses' body's not found? Yeah. You can go to Israel and see how much they worship things. If they found Moses' bones, they would be worshiping it. God purposely buried Moses, and I believe it was for that reason. This verse proves that. You put your hope in Moses. You put your hope in me. And the person that you put your hope in is the person that's going to accuse you. Because Moses, at the end of the day, knows who God is. He says, if you believed in Moses, you would have believed in me because he wrote about me. And then he says, finally, in verse 47, if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So in other words, you say you believe in Moses, you're searching the scriptures to find out, get salvation, but you're reading from the books of Moses and you understand that that's where you're trying to find salvation, but salvation is in me. Because he wrote about me. So if you do not, neither you believe or you don't, like we talked about earlier, it's neither hot or cold, light or dark. If you believe in the words of Moses, you believe in me because he wrote about me. But because you don't believe in me, you don't believe in Moses' writings. And so because you don't believe in Moses' writings, how can you even believe anything that I have to say? Because according to you all, according to you Jews, what I'm saying is foolishness. You see how it all turned around? When religious culture becomes more important than the relationship of Christ. I know you guys have heard this. As I close this morning, I'm going to share something with you. It was very, very interesting. I found it was interesting for years and years, but I never thought about using it until probably about 10 minutes ago. Everybody knows the whole famous monkey hunting tactic. You take, they still do to this day, they take a coconut, they drill a little hole in it, hole probably about this big. They drill a hole in it. They gut it completely out to where there's nothing inside of it. They put fruit in there. They put honey. They put different things in there. Okay? And when they put it in there, they set it. They bind it to something so it can't move or can't go anywhere. And here comes the monkey. And the monkey puts their hand in there. Now, what the hunters do is they find the monkeys. The monkeys have their hand in there. They bash them in the head. They take them. They take them off. They, you know, these are in other countries. I don't think they do this in America, but they, you know, that's how they get their monkey meat. That's how they get their whatever. What's very interesting is that when they examine the whole situation of how, why does this technique work so well? This technique works so well because the monkeys have the ability to put their hand inside the hole and grab whatever is in there, fruit, honey, whatever. But they cannot pull their hand out of the hole as long as their hands are a fist. So when they put their hand into it to grab the food, they hold on to it. And when they're trying to leave, they can't leave because they don't let go of the fruit that's in the coconut. If they let go of the fruit, their hand can come right on out. Have any of you heard of this?
Yes.
Okay, some of you, okay. I know, Willie, I know you did. Hello. Andale, P-I-P-I, uh-oh. Okay. So why am I sharing this example with you? It's because we put our hands into the religious look, into the what looks right, into the I look the part. And we grab onto that fruit. We grab onto that fact that I'm going to a church that plays organs. I go to that church that we only wear suits. I go to that church where I have a big-time celebrity pastor that took a picture with me one time. We focus on that, and we refuse to let it go to be in Christ. And when we refuse to let it go, we're trying to escape. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. They're coming. They're going to bash me over the head. Lord, please help me. Let me free. And God is saying, let go. Let go of all that mess. Come to me. I will give you life. But you're seeking life through something else. If you let go, and I'm not saying that, oh, well, does that mean we don't go to church anymore? Does that mean, no. What I'm saying is your foundation, our foundation must be in God's word. Our foundation must be in the relationship with Jesus Christ. And then everything else is going to build on top of that. Not have your foundation be on how great the choir sounds. Not your foundation of how great the pastor looks with his little pretty pregnant wife. Which I see that a lot too. Oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. Oh gosh, I'm going to come to the church. No, stop. What is he teaching? Not focused on how many people are here. I'm coming to that church. Man, they got 5,000 members. Yeah. And walking into that church is like walking in and out of an airport. You don't say hello to anybody. You can walk in, sit at the top, don't say a single word to nobody. Walk out, no problem. Nobody says nothing to you. You say nothing to nobody. You're good. It's not about that. It's not about the numbers. I'd rather be here with you with five faithful that are growing in God's word. I'd rather be okay with just my family sitting here and we're growing in God's word than having a whole bunch of people and nobody learns nothing about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will be doing you a disservice and I don't deserve to be here. So, let go of all of the extra stuff. Have your foundation be on God's word. You can now search the scriptures and look for salvation, but when you search the scriptures, you will find Christ. And in Christ is salvation. Not in your traditions, not in your cultures, not in this is how we do things, and this is what's going on, and what pagan this, and what pagan that. No, the word of God only. Lord, forgive me for hitting it. This thing is strong enough anyway. I'm sorry. I got passionate and I hit it, but this thing's like 18 pounds, so I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Say again. Well, for the liner. But here's the thing. That's the point I'm making. Let go of all of the religious hoopla and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I challenge you all for that. Okay? That's why we do what we do. That's why next week we're going to talk about Christmas, but it's with the foundation of the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not on the traditions. And I'm going to challenge you something else. When you hear the praise and worship music being played, listen to the theology that's in it. Most Christmas music that we don't pay attention to, that we just hear and when we're walking through Walmart or through the grocery store, not understanding that a lot of this Christmas music has theology in it. Not All I Want for Christmas Is You, not that, not the Mariah Carey one, but I'm talking about old Christmas hymns, right? Listen to it and understand that there's theology in it, and it causes for an act of worship.